Amen. A little while ago, or some time ago, Pat was supposed to share a scripture, and I didn't let her. So I'm just letting it be known that she is going to share the scripture right now. So let's hear the word.
Reading Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 14, if you're looking it up. And this is the New Living Translation. Do not be fooled by those who try to excuse their sins, for the anger of God will fall on them who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good, right, and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that are ungodly, that people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. That is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you the light."
Thank you. I asked her the other day if she would read, and she said, well, she said, you might forget about me. So, I did not, I'll probably never live it down, that I just pushed right past and went to the scriptures and didn't let her read, but she did now. So, let's pray again before we start. Bow your heads with me. Father, again, I thank you for everything that you have let us do here this morning and be able to present before you this morning. And I just ask that as we study through the word, that we would understand how it is you that has done a work within our lives when we have believed in you, when we have received Christ. It is all on you, and it is all done to glorify you. So I thank you for all the situations that you take us through, even though they may not always be the best in our minds at times because they are heavy and weighty. But you are sanctifying us. So I just ask that you would do your work here now and sanctify us with your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If you do have your Bibles too, please open them to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 to 14. The ESV, it'll be up there. I don't know if it'll be. If you'll get it, everything, it's okay, Finn. But yeah, it'll be up there at times, or behind. It should be there, but it may not be exactly where we are. So if you have your Bibles, I always find that's best to hold the Word of God in your hand that we have been so blessed with to be able to have within our own country and many other countries and many other languages. So, yes. As I studied through this, there was many things that were on my mind as I thought and as I read through over and over. And I don't know if you ever get to scripture sometimes and you just feel like there's such a battle within yourself or what the Lord is trying to say or what he's trying to bring out. But I really felt that this week as I studied through this. And I know we've been going through Ephesians and I have been blessed by it. I hope all of you have been blessed by it. I hope that you have taken the due diligent time to read through Ephesians or read pieces or verses of Ephesians. If you haven't, I would encourage you to do so, to take the time to meditate on the word And if you've been, hopefully you're reading other areas besides Ephesians, but if you have had that time to do it, that is good. And before we start again, just come to my mind, Marlon Miller, I don't know if all of you know him, but he has been coming here. He hasn't been here for a while, though. And Howard had mentioned to me that I should call him, and I'm glad that he did. I got to have a good conversation with him on the phone. He has got some physical issues going on for himself, and he was wanting us as a church to just pray for him and lift him up. He's got some different things that he's going to go for into the States here in the next little while here that he is wondering if it's going to work to help him. But he's got lots of physical pain, and he's not doing well physically that way. And it can weigh hard on our minds when physically we're not doing well. But his excitement in the Lord is what encouraged me as I left the conversation with him. As he was brought to tears a few times, I was encouraged by his faith in the Lord, even though he knows this physical ailment is there. He doesn't know if it will be delivered or lifted, or if the Lord will heal it, or whatever. He doesn't know all those answers, but he does have faith in the Lord. So let's just pray right now for him. Father, I just thank you for Marlon, and I thank you that I was able to be encouraged by him. I thank you for his life and his faith in you. I thank you for the many words that he has said to me besides this conversation we had the other day, but just how he speaks highly and holy of you, because he knows that you are holy in all your ways. And we know that you do not stop working. You took one day of rest, but since then, you have always been working. So at any moment, in any moment of our day, at any moment, at any time, we can come before you and we can ask that you would do what we ask, in the sense of not demanding of you, but that we come before you and we know your word, and we know that the one who trusts in you can ask of you what is pleasing to you. So I do not know what you or what your plan is physically with Marlon, but I do know that your word says that we need your spirit to endure. So I just ask that as he battles through this physical time, that he would look to you for strength. Amen. And I ask that your spirit that dwells within him would uplift him. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so in your bulletin, right at the very front, I did say light is the opposite of darkness. I know that's a pretty plain, simple statement, but it is true. If there's light, there will be no darkness. If we shut the lights off, it won't be totally dark in here because we have windows and there's light outside, but we know that it will become a little darker. And the light itself has come into the world. I know it was brought up earlier. I can't remember where it came from. Somebody, I thought it was scripture that was brought up. But the light has come into the world. The light did come into the world. And then the light, Christ, died, rose, and is now seated on his throne. And we need to trust in the work of Christ when we say that we believe. I do want to mention, though, before I start, too, if there's anyone new here, feel free. There's a card within your pews to fill it out and hand it to me after the service, too. But going on. And that's kind of what I'm going to be doing through this as I go through this. We're going to go back and we're going to go ahead. And that's what Paul as well. He's pushing forward when you come to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 6 and on. And I'm going to kind of go back. Ephesians chapter 5, sorry, that's not true. Not true at all. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 to 14. But before we do so, I do want to go back to the beginning of chapter 5. I know I had spoken about this, but it was a little while ago, and I want to go through it again. Let's read it first. Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering, and sacrifice to God. Verse 3, Ephesians chapter 5. But sexual immorality, and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Verse 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, so has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The wrath of God comes upon them. I must and am urged to preach and teach and lead in a way that leads to high and holy, to a high and holy view of God, which will, in return, lead to high and holy living for us as believers. We are born into a loving relationship with our Lord. Wiersbe said this as well in one of his commentaries. And the result in our showing love to him by the way we live. What more could the Father do to express his love to us? Is it asking too much for us to walk in love to please him? As Warren Wiersbe. So now, we are light, we are not darkness any longer. Sexual immorality, impurity, and covetousness are a part of darkness. We are light. If we have been born again, if we have been saved by the Lord, we have become light because of the light that lives within us. Paul started off in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 by compelling all believers to imitate God because if you have believed, you have been washed, you have been justified, and you've been sanctified, and now you have become a child of God. That is very prevalent through Ephesians, becoming a child of God, because I believe that it's very important for us to understand that and comprehend that when we're saved, we're saved. I know people got many different opinions. People might think or question their salvation, but when you have been saved, God does not start something. He's not fickle. He doesn't start something and then not complete the task that he has put his hand to, which he has done with us when he calls us to his glory. So, verse 2 then in Ephesians chapter 5 is to walk in love because Christ was willing to give his life for us, and we walk in love by imitating God, our Father. An imitation of him is what we are to do and what we should do. Then in verse 3, he devotes our attention to sexual immorality, impurity, and covetousness. I find it very interesting the way he did this chunk of scripture, this whole piece here. Why does Paul do this, is the question I find. Because walking in light, in the light, involves not walking in darkness. There's full contrast to the differences between the two. 1 Corinthians 6:11, those who have been washed, is what it talks about, have been justified and sanctified by Christ's blood and cannot walk in immorality, for it's not proper among saints. I find it interesting that Paul puts coveting with sexual sin, but both have satisfaction in wanting what is not theirs to have. I'm sure you guys remember the story of David with Bathsheba and the whole situation that went on there. He took her. He coveted. He wanted. Sexual immorality happened. It's kind of all in one. He committed sexual sin because he wanted what his eyes lusted after. There was an appetite of the flesh. And neither is acceptable for us to walk in. I know that's an extreme case with David, but David was quick to repent because through Nathan the prophet, the light was brought to him. David sinned, but his heart's desire was likened after the likeness of his father. David's whole life was not living in darkness, but living in the light, and a light to the nations. Was David perfect in everything he did? I would say not. Clearly, that's a really big representation for us to remember with David's situation with another man's wife. It's not the only thing. I know I think about David with his son that come after him to reign, Solomon. When he was on the throne, we know that he had many wives, many concubines. I don't think David was the greatest example in the way he had many different wives as well, concubines. But God used an imperfect man to present himself. Fleshly appetites were not a new thing in Paul's time, as you read through here in Ephesians, and as Pat has already read. The flesh has always been there. It's there. Just like today, it's around. Perverted men and women infiltrate our schools and curriculums, which we know is at the forefront right now with the situation. It's there. It's in front of us. We see it. Sometimes we might turn a blind eye. Maybe we've turned a blind eye for many years. I don't know what the right answer is to that, but I do know that we have an opportunity in our lives and at this very moment to speak light. And as we live in the light, we bring out darkness. So your life, as you live a Christian life, you will bring out darkness just by the life that you live, if you are living right in the eyes of God. But as Christians, we can expose this darkness by telling the work of Christ. So don't be afraid to stand. Don't be afraid to stand. They might hate you, but they ultimately hate Christ. Then in verse 4 of chapter 5, still in Ephesians, verse 4, Paul makes mention of our mouths and how filthy and foolish and crude they really are, and how joking is not to come out of them. Then again, Paul takes it back to verse 3 in verse 5 with sexual immorality and purity and covetousness, and reminds us that there is no inheritance for those who practice these in word and deed. I am sure you have all been around someone who seems to make everything they say turn into something, some type of filthy, coarse joke. I know for myself I have, because that's what I once did. I seemed to always figure out a way to say some kind of perverted comment at any moment, at any opportunity, because my mindset was filthy, because my mind was dark, because I was dark. I just want to point this out before I go further. I was going to point it out later, but something in verse 8 to remind you and to let you know of here. It says, "For at one time you were darkness." It does not say in darkness, but it says that we were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Always pointing back to God, even though we're given much through the power and the work of the Spirit, it points always to God. There is a power that works within you, but it is always given to God. And if it doesn't give glory to God, you need to question what you're doing and what you're presenting. Because it should always, everything you do, same thing with the music this morning, with the abilities that God gives us, or many of us, I don't have the great ability like these ones here have, but many have abilities to do these things, and we need to make sure that we give glory to God in the abilities that we have, that we don't make focus on ourselves the importance. So just remember that as we go through this too. For at one time you were darkness. So light is the opposite of darkness. We were once darkness, but now we are light. I don't know if you've ever been around somebody who's witty. There might be a few of you in here that are witty. And sometimes people can be extremely witty, where you just want to gently choke them, if that's possible. We want to stop them. But this kind of goes along with this as well. Not kind of, it does go along with this as well, what Paul was talking about in verse 4 with foolish talk and filthiness and joking. We should be giving thanksgiving towards the Lord. And when we're saved, if we were a witty person before, we're probably still witty after being saved because it was already there. But in our wit, it should bring glory to God and please God. That's where it should go to. Instead of being witty to make a quick comment to maybe poke at someone or pollute the conversation, that witty person should then in return have a witty comment to praise God or to praise someone else. So, be quick to listen is what I think of. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So then that quick and witty person that we so love should study the scriptures and find truth in them and know that the Spirit will lead them and guide them as the Spirit will lead and guide us. I believe that those who have an appetite for filthy, foolish, crude joking have an appetite for sexual immorality. Man, that's that word. For sexual immorality and are greedy for unjust gain. Often they are either involved in sexual sin and have committed some form of it or seek to do so. I really do believe that. That when someone has an appetite for it, that appetite will not be quenched unless they act out in it, whether that be through words or physically through some type of sexual form. And that's where the work of Christ comes in. And that's where the light comes in. So we speak light. We don't always have to point out specifically what someone is doing, but when we live a life that is pleasing to God, our words can be pleasing to God. And then they can speak into or at the darkness that is there before us. So the question I'd like to ask for some of you, I have a few questions throughout here, but do your words prove your character? Depending on who you partner with, even when we are quiet, we can be saying something. So I want to say that again. Do your words prove your own character? The way you speak, does it prove the character that you have? And we talked about before when I was brought it up and it said in verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. So if you're an imitator of God, there is a character trait and you will have that character trait of your Father if the Spirit lives within you, because it has to do that work because it's sent there to do the work within you to present the light before the nations. So we need to watch what our character is. We need to check ourselves to make sure that our character is lining up with the character of God. And in order to do that, we need to study the scriptures. We need to dig deep within them and strive to study them at every moment, whenever we can. Sometimes we feel pretty lax and don't really want to, and I get that, I get there. But we need to pick it up. Or, if you have a voice app, let it read to you. Force it in there. I've done that before. It works as you hear it. And it's good sometimes just to hear it and not always be reading it yourself. Sometimes it's good just to listen to it. So be careful who you partner with. Even when we are quiet, we can be saying something when we're partnering with the people that may not be the best. Paul was not saying that we cannot ever joke, though. He wasn't saying that we can never joke or never laugh. I know we had a couple giggles here this morning with a couple things. It's not wrong to joke around. We just need to be very careful how we do it or how far we go with it. Sometimes there's people who can't take jokes. They don't like it. So don't joke with them. Don't push them to it. It's a fact. Don't make them do something that they can't, because then you're causing them to sin because they're going to become angry at you. And like I said before, the choking thing will become not as gentle and quite extreme, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, so we need to be careful on how we joke and how we laugh with one another. And the more time we spend together, the more we start to get to know each other and we understand where people come from and what they need in their life from us as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Because that's our forefront, right? As brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a light here to each other because of the work of God, but then we go out into the world and we're a light as well to the world and to the nations, to the darkness that is there. But we are no longer dark. We need to make sure we always remember that. So make sure your words bring life and grace to the one who's listening to you. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen race." Just listen to the words of that. "But you are a chosen race." This is you in Christ. You are chosen. A royal priesthood. We talked this morning too. I made a joke this morning about us sitting in the king's chair, the bigger chairs in the prayer room, or the queen chair. And I said, when someone sits in it, when you sit in it, I kind of watch, see if anyone's going to sit in it on purpose or what they'll do. I've sat in it too. They're not comfortable, as Gary realized. Well, some think that they're comfortable, some don't. They sit up very straight on the back, and I guess if people have really, those ones who have really good posture, I guess it's good chairs for them. But are totally off. Anyways, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I don't know, but that seems like a pretty big clump of truths and promises there. I don't think we can deny that those are not. But I just want to focus on a little piece here. A people for his own possession. Does that sound like something he's going to start and then quit? Doesn't to me. That you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. But we do need to make sure we're walking in the light. And we walk in the light by studying the scriptures. But if we don't study the scriptures, we're not going to be walking. If we don't study the scriptures and depend on the Spirit and look to him for the sanctification work that he does within us because he first justified us, then we're not going to be able to present before God, first of all, and to the world, something that has been justified. So make sure that we walk in the light because he has called you. If he has called you. I like that Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 4. But that is not the way you learn Christ. But then he goes on to verse 21. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Because if you were taught in Christ, and if you come through the Gospels and you've come to new life, you've come to an understanding and received Christ for yourself because he has given himself to you and opened your eyes to see him, then there is a work that is going on in your life. Sometimes people test the waters. I say test them. God's bigger than you. And he does say, come and seek after him, because he'll reveal himself to you. So with darkness, there is no inheritance. This is verse 5. With darkness, there is no inheritance. So with sexual immorality, with crude and coarse joking, there is no inheritance. There is nothing there. Because if we have an appetite for that, there's no inheritance. I want to say what I brought up earlier is that David fell into sin, but David's desire was not for it. He did not have an appetite his entire life to go after that. There was a changed man there and a chosen man there by God. So his appetite was to glorify God. And God used a broken man to present that to us. But then verse 8, Paul brings reminders of us to the fact that we are children of light. This is assuming you have been taught in the truth. This is kind of what I was talking about earlier. Taught in the truth about Jesus Christ. If we are his children, then we have an inheritance. We have a promise there that's for us. We have the promised Holy Spirit that is given to us. And as a reminder of what God has done for us. Then in verse 6, we are not children of wrath. We are not sons of disobedience or daughters of disobedience. Darkness cannot reside where light dwells. What is in the heart comes out of the mouth. So then those things start to prove where we stand. And if your heart is dark, then darkness will flow from your lips. If you are light, light will flow from your mouth. Season your words with salt. Even in your small talk. So even in your joking, like I was saying earlier. So a second part that I want to get to is stepping forward. Now I want to take us forward. As Paul did the same thing. He wanted to thrust us forward. This is from verses 7 to 14. And the reason I say this is because when you just read it here, actually, I'll read verse 6 first. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Then he kind of goes and he just pushes us further. "Therefore, do not become partners with them." So he first said the first part, with sons of disobedience, the wrath of God comes for this. "Therefore, do not be partners with them." But then in verse 8, he even goes further yet, and he says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light in the..." Now, let's go back again. Start at verse 8. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Then verse 9, he says, "For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." Verse 10, "And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord." Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Test him. Paul pushes us forward. He talks about sexual immorality, all those things, the darkness and the darkness that you once were. But when he first started chapter 5, which I love, this always amazes me. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." There is always something to confidently stand on. As beloved children, when you've been made right in Him, as I've said this many times this morning, and as I'll probably say it many times to you again, if you've been made right in Him, you are His beloved child. No one can rip that from you. No man can take that from you. You are His child. And Paul pushes his God's children forward when he says, "For at one time you were darkness," verse 8, "but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." It's a pushing forward is what's happening here with Paul. It's a thrusting to something greater than the darkness we once were. So we need to not forget about the darkness we once were as we grow in Christ. Because when we remember the darkness that we once were, it gives us an ability to share the gospel with the world. It gives us the ability to share something, some kind of good news, because we get the darkness that we once had and once were, to give them the light that we now have, because we once were dark and now we are light. So we're able to share the good news with them because we've received that good news from the darkness that we once were, that we were separate from a God, separate from God, a God, separate from God, let's clear that up, separate from God, and now we are a part of God. Amen. So don't forget that you were once darkened. It does not matter what age you come to Christ. That's what I love about this too. It doesn't matter what age you come to Christ. Without Christ, you lived in darkness. So whether you're very young, 6 years old, let's say 10 years old, whatever you may be, or whether you were 80, whether you were 60, it doesn't matter. When you come to Christ, you were once darkness. Without Christ, you lived in darkness. You were dead in your sins and trespasses. This is why it's so important for us to understand. And when we understand that, there's a testimony, a powerful testimony, at whatever age you came to salvation that you can share. And it's an ongoing testimony that's happening throughout your days, because the Lord is doing a work in you from the moment He saves you, and the moment He opens your eyes, the moment you believe and you receive Him, when you see the light that come into the world that the world did not see, it's an amazing part of our testimony. So this is why I think it's really important that we understand that, because some people go, "Well, I don't really have the greatest testimony that I come, you know, I was 10 years old and I was saved, you know, I realized and whatever, right? Grew up in a Christian home," and they're saying, "Well, I never did sexual sin, and I never went after the lusts of my heart in ways that some people did." And they think that there's not a great testimony there, but there is a great testimony, because God saved you when He didn't have to, but He did, because He's a gracious God. So there's a great testimony, because even when you go on the last verse of what it was here in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, "For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Arise, awake, O sleeper. This is for us, and this is something that we can share with the unsaved. Is the truth that we understood. And then it's the same thing right here as it says. It says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. It's not that that's the forefront of what we say to someone who's unsaved, that we just read this to them. No, we have to diligently go through a few more things. But truth brings out the darkness. It's the biggest thing I want to get across this morning. That's why I said for the thing in the bulletin, specifically, it says light is opposite of darkness, because there is a fully oppositeness. I know that's not the greatest word, but whatever. Opposites to it. Light is light and dark is dark. They cannot mesh together. You can try it all you want, but it won't work. You can't squish it and make it happen. Christ, who was light, come into the world. And those who have believed will produce fruit. So ask yourself, are you producing fruit? What fruit? Do I have any fruit? If we are children of light, then our light should produce fruit, as I've said. If we produce fruit, what kind of fruit? Is it darkness or light? That's why Paul laid this out here for us. We needed to see the darkness in order to see if we're actually producing light. We cannot expect to characterize God if we are living in darkness or if we are partners with those who are darkness. Only those who walk in the light walk in the character productive to God's character. Productivity of God's character is fruit of light. If we have been justified, then sanctification must follow suit. I said this earlier too, but I bring it up again to make the importance known about that. That sanctification is happening in those who have been saved by Christ. If there is no sanctification, is there salvation? Maybe there's a place where you need to go back and go, hey, wait a second, have I missed something? I don't know for sure, but I do know that the Lord can and does do a work in His children's lives. If we are being sanctified, we do not desire to condone sin. We desire to expose sin. Exposing sin in our own lives and others, living in the light exposes sin. It physically just happens. As we live out life in the light of Christ, darkness will be exposed. Often we want to point. I know that happens for us as people. We want to point to the sin that someone's doing. But as you live in the light, their sin will be brought out. Or the sin in your own life will be brought out as you live in the light because of sanctification. So I ask again, who do you partner up with? Who do you spend a lot of time with? Who do you hang around with at many moments of the day? You need to make sure that you're partnering up with someone who is producing what's right in God's eyes. Are you more likely to laugh with those who reside in darkness? Or are you more likely to produce the fruit of light that exposes darkness? Ephesians 5:9 says, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Then Philippians 1:11 says, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. If you have the Spirit, you will produce light. It's not questionable. If you have the Spirit of God, you're going to produce light as you walk in the light. Then John 3:20-21 says, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Verse 21, but whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out by God. I want to read that last part to you. Verse 21. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out by God. Clearly seen so that his works have been carried out by God. I don't think that those words are messed up there. They're pretty clear. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out by God. It points back to God. So the light that lives within us points to how powerful the light is, and how powerful that light is that lives within us. We no longer reside in darkness. We are not darkness any longer when we have been saved by Him. We have new hope, new plans, new purposes. So when we share, as I was talking about earlier, when we share with someone the gospel, we're being reminded of the awakening that happened to us. So we share it with exuberance because of the work that the Lord has done within us. And we say, awake, 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 O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you, because that's what happened to us. So we want to share the good news with the world, knowing that there has been a work done within us. I'm going to stop there. Let's pray, and then we'll sing together and depart together. Father, I just thank you again for your word. I thank you that we can have confidence in the salvation that you give to us, that we can have confidence in you, in the trials that you put before us, knowing that you are sanctifying us and you are making us more into your image. And I know when we go through those physical trials that seem so heavy, Lord, I'm messed up in my words. When we look to you, Lord, we look to you for strength and for help and guidance. And when we go through those trials that you present before us, we can have confidence that you will care for us and you will take care of our needs, no matter what comes, whether death or pain or sorrow or loss. We can have hope in the eternity that is there for us. And we can have hope in not ourselves, but in you. In Jesus' name, amen.